And now, this week, I bring to you a very special Halloween special, which I hope you find very special. It is a segment I did last week on 99.7 The Blitz, and we talked about haunted locations throughout Ohio, haunted hotspots, and Halloween. A lot about Halloween. Legends, lore, lies, myths, and a lot of haunted locations that people were asking me about. I shared some cool information, told some cool stories, and I hope you enjoyed it and will enjoy this as much as the listening audience that heard it live did, as well as myself when I heard it. So be sure to sit back, unplug yourself from what you're doing, and listen to this, because this is a fun ride for Halloween. And today is All Hallows Eve. Halloween's the 31st. That will be tomorrow on the calendar. And everyone is geared up for that. I'm excited you're around for Halloween. But I try to do special episodes like this every October. Thank you, and hold for an important message from one of my sponsors.
Experience Columbus's newest and most entertaining haunted attraction, Carnage Haunted House. Carnage Haunted House and their monsters return to an all-new indoor 60,000 square foot location at 3770 Refugee Road, home of intense terror that's guaranteed to scare. Featuring the Bayou, the Entity, and more. Experience the thrill of two of Columbus's most immersive attractions and terrifying all-indoor haunts under one roof. For ticket prices and hours of operation, visit them on Facebook or check out CarnageHauntedHouse.com.
Out of Leader's Way on the Morning Blitz. It's 8:10. That's Kelly Quinn. That's Lewis. I'm Thick Rick, and we have got your tickets to see The Gods. Man, I mean, this band, just complete legends here in Central Ohio. They are back. They've got a new CD, and they're going to have a release party with the CD Friday, November 24th at the King of Clubs. Cream Camino is going to open the show. You can buy tickets at tkoc.live, or you can just text God to 99700. Text God to 99700, and we will take the 99th text and hook you up with a pair of tickets. We'll come back with a winner, and then we're going to talk to Neil Parks. Welcome back, Neil. It's been 4 years since we've seen you.
Far too long. Yeah, I've not been in here in the flesh since 2019, only metaphysically through the phone.
First time you've seen the new studio? It's a little better, isn't it?
I love the layout.
Yeah. Are there any new hauntings between the last time we saw you and now? Well, like, is something newly haunted, or are we just... Because I kind of like the old ones, to be honest.
It's like the ancient ones,
like the Lizzie Borden type situations, you know, where maybe she's haunting.
Well, one thing for sure, when we start seeing Xennial ghosts pop up, those are really going to suck because they won't even pay attention to you. They'll be too busy on their phones.
Yeah, that's right.
But with COVID, a lot of people being stuck at home noticed a lot of strange things at their house they never noticed before.
COVID hauntings.
Like their spouse.
Oh, that's true.
Like, where's the makeup?
He's still here.
All right. Well, we will get into all that with Neil and have your God's ticket winner when we come back. Bad Flower on the Morning Blitz. It is 8:23. Kelly, Rick, and Lewis, and also now joined by Neil Parks. I do need to say congratulations to Danielle from Roseville. She was a 99 tech, so she's got a pair of tickets to see The Gods coming up at the King of Clubs next month. We'll have one more chance for you to win those coming up tomorrow morning. So, Neil, of course, our local ghost hunter. It's been 4 years. We got a lot of new listeners. So tell everybody about yourself and how you got into this and everything.
Not a lot has changed, thankfully. It's all been pretty positive. And the last time I was in here physically was 2019. But we have had conversations on the phone through the Halloween seasons and years past since then. But this is my first time back in the studio. And I got into writing at a very early age and writing about the paranormal, the supernatural, and got sucked into shows as a kid, like those shows hosted by Leonard Nimoy and a few other old-timers like Raymond Burr about strange occurrences of the Bermuda Triangle, UFO sightings, ghostly encounters in Gettysburg. And those were all shows big in the 70s that I would watch in syndication because... I was born in 75, so I only remembered so much at that age. But through the 80s, growing up, being fascinated with that. And then the 90s brought us the X-Files, so it just continued to snowball for me. And I've been writing my entire life, but got published in 2008. Just writing as a hobby, essentially. And testing the waters to see where it would take me. And sure enough, I built an audience, and I'm well over 9 books into all of this, and I have a new one I'm working on right now that will be released in late 2024.
How many books have you written just about haunted places in Ohio?
Just about haunted places in Ohio, 7 books.
7 of the 9 are just for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a couple places we had not talked about, at least that I could remember in the past when you were on the show, that we just found out about over, well, I just found out about over the past couple of weeks. I know mm-hmm. Kelly knew about Walhalla Ravine.
Yes, Walhalla Ravine, also known as, it's in Clintonville.
Right.
It's Walhalla Road, Ravine, what depends on the area you're from, what you want to call it.
Yeah, Walhalla Road is basically we would go on a weekend night, dark, turn off our headlights, and just cruise down Walhalla or across Walhalla. And the whole story was that you might see, like, bodies hanging from the bridge, mm-hmm. or, like, that was the thing you were supposed to look for.
Yeah,
we never saw anything, but we were scared to death.
It was allegedly supposed to be the body of Dr. Mooney,
yeah.
from the Mooney Mansion. He supposedly went nuts and killed his wife and family in the 1950s, and then hung himself out of shame.
Yeah, from the Calumet Street Bridge.
Right,
yeah.
From the actual bridge. And this is very similar to another story that I'm currently writing about in my new book that took place at Scioto Trail State Park. That's right at the divide point between Ross and Pike County, Ohio.
All right.
South of Chillicothe. And same thing, it was the 1960s or the 70s. The years change from time to time based on who's telling it. And a park ranger went nuts, killed his wife and family, threw their bodies in the well and covered it up, and then went into the cabin and shot himself.
Hmm.
And a lot of people have talked about seeing shadows walking in and out of the woods around where the cabin used to be and then hearing phantom gunshots.
Now, have you ever disproved a place? Because there are those, sometimes people make up a story about something, the story sticks, and then years go by, and because of said story, people believe a place is haunted that doesn't really...
Yeah, it was one house that was in Chillicothe. It's one of the reviews I have written about one of my books that's on Amazon. This woman bashed me and my book because I proved that her house wasn't haunted, so she was salty about it. And then something happened later down the road where she got in trouble for taking money
grifting.
From the city.
Yeah.
So she moved to another state, and then, you know, that came up again where I proved that her house wasn't haunted and that she had deliberately set things up to make it look like it was haunted and set up noisemakers and whatnot. And
scam.
Trip wires. And,
you know, it's like what the Brady Bunch kids did so that the parents wouldn't sell the house.
Right.
She pulled
episode.
A Brady Bunch. Yes.
Wow. All right. Have you ever written about Schmidt's Sausage House in German Village?
I've not written about it, but I have eaten there.
Oh, you have eaten
yeah,
there?
Yeah, love the sausage hash.
Did you ever
sure.
see Arnett Howard and the Creole Funk Band there? Oh, buddy, we
I
used to go to
Arnett.
German Village all the time in the 80s to watch Arnett Howard.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, I know we're talking about hauntings now, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, I just found out there was a whole article in 614 Magazine that mm-hmm. Sav McKee wrote about this is supposed to be... extremely haunted. It first opened as a meatpacking house in 1886, then became a restaurant in 1914. I guess people from all over the nation visit this restaurant, obviously for the food and the whole atmosphere of the place, but people say they have experienced ghosts at Schmidt's, and it's not something they'd want to seek out again.
It could ruin your appetite if you're there for a meal, if you're squeamish. The place is considered one of the oldest restaurants in Columbus,
yeah.
in Ohio in general. There are different stories from different people that have worked there and different patrons, one of which was late one night after the diners had departed. And the crew at Schmidt's Sausage House, I call it Haas.
It is, yeah, it is. H-A-U-S,
and they were cleaning the restaurant, and clatter from above, the floor above them, where no one was at, stopped them, what they were doing, and, you know, wide-eyed wonder, they started looking around upstairs, and there were 4 chairs that had been moved from the tables in their original setting. At that time, after hours, the chairs are upside down.
Okay.
They were placed back on their feet and pushed back to back like someone was playing musical chairs.
So like Poltergeist.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no one was there. And one of the employees as he proceeded to walk back downstairs. To follow the rest of the group, he noticed the large picture mirror that is over the banquet area, and there was an old man in the mirror waving to him.
Oh, wow.
He ended up running down the stairs and knocking everyone in front of him to the side to make his way down.
Oh, man. All right. Might have to go. I haven't been there in a long time. I'd have to get back over there and pay a little more attention. All right. We got more coming up with Neil next. We got to talk about 2020. I guess that was quite a year for hauntings and such. And I also want to ask you about Ouija boards, because we had a discussion about Ouija boards a couple weeks ago. So
hate
I have
them,
a,
but go on.
I want to have a question for you about that. We'll get into all that next. Guns N' Roses on the Morning Blitz. Kelly, Rick, and Lewis, and joined by Neil Parks, who is absolutely the expert when it comes to all things haunted in Ohio. Now, in a survey, 42% of people say they have felt a paranormal presence in their home, or at least something or someone they couldn't see. 37% have heard unexplained sounds, footsteps, voices, and 18% claim they've actually seen apparitions or ghostly figures. And I guess you found out there was a big increase in this in 2020.
A lot of people telling me that when they were stuck at home with their significant other, or alone for that matter, due to the lockdown, they would hear and see things they never experienced before in their home. And not a certain time of the day. It just sort of happens when you're more relaxed and you're more in the environment at the time that it reveals itself.
Hmm. How about Lewis, Kelly, anything at your house ever?
No. Uh-uh.
Do you want something at your
house? I don't. Oh, okay. I'm good with no ghosts or anything. I don't want that.
I lived in a condo once that an architect redid it, but back in the time of the Great Depression, it was the clinic/hospital. And my dogs used to bark at random things, and I, to this day, still swear I woke up one night and saw, like, an old man standing in my room.
There's bodies in the wall, I guarantee.
So,
you don't... guarantee! No,
don't. But no, come to find out, like, the bedroom bathroom was one of the operating rooms.
Oh, unpleasant.
Yeah. Ooh. I was only there, like, another 6 months, but it was, you know, interesting.
Unsettling.
That's... Uh-huh. Yeah, that is kind of bizarre.
Animals always notice that.
Yeah. That's what... Yeah, a friend of mine, and I don't know that this has any bearing on it, but he was very Asian, and I mean, he's Asian, but he was very, like, Zen or spiritual.
That's quite common in the Asian culture, Native American culture. They're very in tune to the spirit
world. And that's what he was like. Your dog sees the spirit. That's why she barks all the time. And I'm like, are you sure? Because to us, she barked at nothing, but, you know, she was always, like, barking for whatever reason.
They can't see us. We're in the spirit world.
We're in spirit world.
What are your thoughts on Ouija boards? Because we had a discussion a couple weeks ago on the air, Ouija boards real or not, and people did share some stories about, you know, bizarre experiences they had with Ouija boards. I was like, it's found in the toy section. It's made by Hasbro. But I guess there are authentic Ouija boards, you're not going to find in the toy section.
It's like a 50-50 shot with Ouija boards, because you can't drive a nail without a hammer. So that is a tool that works as sort of like a party line. You may connect with something on the other side, but you don't know what it is. And certain entities have a really good habit of posing as deceased loved ones or some type of familiar. And then you get, it's like a gateway drug. You get deeper and deeper into it. Some people do, not everyone. It depends on your mental state of mind. And other things like kids doing them at slumber parties, like, who am I going to marry? And then they all put their hands on it and move it around and it says Timmy, and then they pee themselves. So it's 50-50 with a Ouija board. I'm not nuts about them. I've seen some weird things occur with those. But, of course, when you're asking certain questions, you're playing with fire.
Well, and, you know, we had several texts like that. You know, you shouldn't mess around with stuff you don't understand. As I've told Kelly and Lewis, I've said it many times, I've never seen a ghost. I've never had any kind of experience with anything supernatural. I would like to see a ghost. I say that. I think I would, but I would just to know, I finally saw something. You know, so that's why I'd mentioned you. I'd like to get together sometime. Take me to the scariest place that we can go. Actually, Alex asked that question. Can you ask Neil what the most haunted place is in Ohio and why?
The most active place I've ever been to, and it's gone now. It caught fire, burned to the ground. The Emmett House in Waverly, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
It has a dark history. Well, had a dark history. And you encounter positive spirits, positive energy, but there's a lot of negative energy that had been released on that property, mainly in the basement. And I actually had objects thrown at me from the left to the right side of this walkway down between the tunnel system that had since been walled off. But I had buckets of paint from the left of me thrown to the right side of the wall, and then boxes from the right side of the wall tossed to the left. And by that time of that happening, I heard footsteps behind me. That was my wife at that point running up the stairs, leaving me for dead. So I decided I'm going to follow her because she's freaked out. I've got cans of paint being thrown at me. I think that's my time
to
leave.
Wow. All right. Go ahead.
If you had something to go along with that, I have a whole different thing I need to ask.
Okay, all I was going to say was with the Ouija board, I had mentioned, you know, the toy section and Hasbro, but several people had texted and said, well, it's not so much about the fact that it comes from the toy department and it's made by Hasbro as it is that you are, you know, really genuinely seeking to connect with that spirit world. So that's, you know, it doesn't matter where it came from. That's what matters. It's that you believe and you are trying to connect. So go ahead, Kelly.
All right. One of the most grim places I have ever been in my whole life is inside the old psych hospital on the hilltop. I had a friend who was being released. She needed a ride home. I went to pick her up. So I went inside the facility. Ooh. When I tell you it was dark, it was an absolute dark experience to the soul. Literally felt it when I walked in. It was an absolutely sad situation to walk into and look around. And I was like, well, I don't know what's happening here, but I feel something. I'm not saying I'm like sensitive to spiritual things. I don't know that I am at all. But I bet that place was haunted, number one. And number two, they tore it down. So if it was haunted, what happens then? Do they just haunt the new buildings, like the new Department of Public Safety that went up there? I mean, like, I don't know. I was just curious about that.
I've had questions like that asked many times. The best example I have for that is the Battlefield of Gettysburg. So much happened and so much was released, and it is forever etched in that environment. So if you were to come in and build a whole neighborhood on that battlefield, every single house would be haunted, not because of what happened in the house, but because of what happened on the property.
On the property. So that might be the same kind of situation with the psych hospital.
Did you guys see what Nikki said? Nikki Newland said, I bought my house from my grandfather 20 years ago. He warned me about a lady in white who appeared after he renovated, but she was calm. It shocked me because he's not the only one to say something like that. My husband and I have both seen her a handful of times, as well as my daughter, who knew nothing about this.
Oh, my God. That reminds me so much of a time when I was in college, the first time I went. Long story, but I ended up going to Northern Ohio with a friend, and we were in a band at that time together. And he lived in an old farmhouse, and it was fully renovated. It was in his family and whatnot. And I'm coming down late one night when I was staying over just to use the restroom, which was downstairs, and then get a glass of water. And as I'm walking into the kitchen, there's an older gentleman sitting at the table. A really nice guy. I thought it was his grandfather because his grandfather was out late playing bingo because, you know, he was kind of wild. So I'm talking to this old guy, and he's responding to me just like, oh, yeah, welcome. Yeah, go ahead. Have a seat. He's sitting there at the table, and I'm sitting across from him, solid as a rock. And this guy, I saw his legs, everything. He was a full-bodied apparition or person at that time, I thought. And then, you know, we say our things to each other. I go upstairs, go back to sleep, come back down for breakfast, and then there's another old man sitting at the table, and I'm asking Matt, my friend, who is the older gentleman, because he doesn't look like your grandpa that was here last night. He goes, that is my grandpa. And I described the older gentleman that I had a whole conversation with and sat with, and his mother dropped a dish, and she turned and looked at me. She says, you met Walter. And so that was like a normal thing parents. They,
whoa.
Walter was the original owner of that home. He was the great uncle to the grandfather, and he had died in the house in the kitchen. And I'm sitting here having a full-on conversation. So he was an intelligent haunt, fully aware of his surroundings and who I was and was trying to get to know me. It was the weirdest experience of my life.
I've never had anything even close to
that. That's crazy. All right, we got a couple of texts here before you got to get out of here. I wanted to bring up, Doug says, I live in Urbana, and everyone says the Little Train Depot is haunted because Abraham Lincoln's body came through there. Do you know anything about that place?
I want to know more about it because I was completely unaware, and I'm a history buff. I was completely unaware that Lincoln's body was transported through here. But if I remember correctly, did they not parade him through different states and cities before his burial?
I don't know.
Because I know his spirit haunts the White House.
Okay.
But I cannot remember if they actually took him from train depot to train depot for the American people to say their goodbyes, essentially.
Man, that's interesting. All right, Gene asked, and man, you know, as somebody who grew up in Grove City, just not too far down the road is Darbydale. They asked about Woolly Burger Cemetery. Everybody wants to know about Woolly Burger.
We had planned a trip, remember that?
Yeah, I wanted to go. Trying to see my first ghost.
This summer of 2019, we had discussed, we're going to do this. Something came up. We got to the Halloween episode. We didn't get to do it. And we're like, we got to plan it for next summer.
And then COVID hit.
COVID kills changed everything. It locked us down. It locked everything. I had to find new ways to reinvent the wheel. And I couldn't do any kind of guest appearances. There were no conventions or festivals active at that point. So I had to create a podcast. I'm into season 5 of that now. I had to appear on other podcasts, not face-to-face. I really miss seeing everyone face-to-face as much as I can't stand half the people on this planet. I missed human connection.
Rebecca said, what about the Egypt Valley Ghost Witch Covens? Never heard of that.
Yeah, that's in Piedmont, Ohio.
Egypt Valley?
Yeah, that's a new one to me as well. I've not heard of a witch's coven doing anything. There have been witch's covens that I have encountered in the past. Nothing threatening. Mainly just your wicked nature witches, but not like dark magic. Agatha was, Agatha from WandaVision on Disney Plus. It wasn't like that. But we had the same thing in Beaver, Ohio, which I grew up in Beaver, Ohio. That's like deep south, southern Ohio, Pike County. And we had a place called Blackie's Lake, which was in East Jackson. And the reason it was called Blackie's Lake, there was a lot of racial undertones to that based on the area, what it was, and what went through that area. But there was allegedly a witch's coven or a satanic group. Now, this was during the satanic panic of the 1980s and 90s. So everyone was a Satanist if you wore black. You know what I mean?
Right.
I remember all that. I remember that every other person had been abused in a satanic ritual cult.
Yeah.
Every other person.
Every other person.
Sounds like a good Friday night to me.
Oh, man. So great to have you back in the studio, Neil.
I have a question, Neil.
Yeah.
There's a legend, I believe it was like in the mid-90s in Detroit, that a couple got married on Halloween and they were murdered for some reason during the ceremony. And eventually, like, the guy came back, but he was guided by like a spiritual avatar bird to kind of like set everything right. And that supposedly can happen again. Is that true or not? Does that really happen?
It reminds me a lot of The Crow.
There's a lot of similarity there.
A lot of similarities to The Crow. Now, I mean, I don't like to put limitations on anything spiritual because, like, through God the Creator, all things are possible. And whether that be a good thing or a bad thing, it's a spiritual world we're dealing with. And there's so much of it we don't know about. We can't put a scientific label on any of it because it's just ever evolving.
Yeah, I mean, what would you do? You can't. There's no way to investigate it like on your terms.
Yeah.
You know, it's all on the spirit world's terms, right?
Correct.
Well, you know, but I also think it also comes with some of the fact that you just have to accept that there are things that can't be explained that happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just have to kind of put your mind in that place that, hey, you know, there are certain things, certain aspects of life that we just don't have a definitive answer for.
Correct.
Man. All right. Larry said, is Moonville really haunted? I don't even know. I have no idea what Moonville is.
Moonville is out. Oh, gosh. when I've been there, other people were driving. I cannot tell you how to get there myself. I have terrible memory when it comes to direction and whatnot, unless I'm driving. And that place, there's definitely something going on there, whether it is the ghost of a lantern man guiding the train through the tunnel at one point in time in history. I don't know, but a lot of people have seen the spirits of children in the area and the spirit of a man carrying a lantern, but he has no head.
Tracy did say that Tracy and Nikki both said Abraham Lincoln did get transported by train through different cities before he was buried in Illinois.
Good. So. I was hoping it wasn't a Mandela effect and that I remembered something that didn't happen with everyone else.
Carl said you need to look into the castle in Doylestown, Ohio. It used to be a psychiatric hospital where they experimented with electric shock therapy and LSD to help mentally ill, and it's definitely haunted.
Yeah, that one, is it open to the public, I wonder, or is it like a tourist attraction that you have to call and get permission to walk the grounds? The Ridges in Athens is like that. Half of it's used as for art displays for the art students, and the rest of it's closed off because it was used as a tuberculosis clinic after it was a mental institution. And there's a lot of black mold, so it's not open to the public.
Blake said, how often are objects haunted? My mom bought a ring from a garage sale a while back, and ever since she's had paranormal happenings in her home that she and my brother have both observed, like children's voices, footsteps, TVs turning on and off when nobody's in the room, etc.
Completely accurate. That happens more often than it should, but a lot of times when you take these different artifacts or familiars to people, that was important to them when they were alive, things that were important to them, there's a part of them still left in it. And if you bring it to your home, you may notice parts of that person popping up from time to time.
Hmm. Wow. Crazy. Well, we are out of time. Great to have you back. Tell everybody where they can find your podcast and your books.
You can find my podcast on iTunes and iHeartRadio as well as Spotify. It is Paranormally Speaking with Neil Parks.
Nice. Yeah, I see you do a lot of UFO stuff.
Absolutely.
So you must be pretty excited about what's been going on with the government.
Oh, my God, since 2020, I've been on the mountaintop gloating about how right I've been about everything.
Oh, no, you sound like my friend Joe. All along. I told him, have you seen the Starlink, Elon Musk? I knew nothing about it, that you could see it. We were out fishing one night. We saw this go overhead. I was blown away. I had no idea what it was until I got home and my wife told me, but he was convinced it was aliens, and it was great.
All of these conspiracy theorists are tying the Starlink to chemtrails to 5G. So
It's
the vaccinations that we've been taking for COVID are supposed to deflect the zombie virus that's going to be released by 5G. So it's anyone's guess.
Speaking of zombies, I see you have your zombie survival vehicle geared up outside and ready to go.
I love it.
Yes, I do. I have quite a few ducks on the dash because it's a Jeep thing.
You got ducked.
So yeah, I get ducked a lot. I've had to start giving a lot of ducks to my son, who also drives a Jeep, just so he can have some on his dash, because I don't want to put 3,000 ducks on my dash. I have to see.
All right. Well, now that we're kind of back to normal, we've got to get out. You got to find me a ghost. We got to do that. We got to do
next time. And my ghoul containment unit.
Unparalleled insider access. Get it all. Introducing the SiriusXM Platinum VIP plan. Our newest, most exclusive plan. Listen in two cars, plus stream anywhere with two app logins. Access a massive, exclusive library of live concert video and audio recordings through nugs.net. Have opportunities to experience live and virtual SiriusXM events, including VIP-only exclusives. Get all your questions answered by a dedicated VIP customer care team. Plus, get all the entertainment we've got. It's all included with your Platinum VIP subscription. Be a VIP. Call 844-711-8800 to learn more. Offer details apply. One login per activated vehicle. Not available in Canada.
Well, there's, of course, the Buxton Inn. I'm sure you've heard of that.
And where's that exactly?
That is in Granville.
Okay, Granville.
Right. That's, I think it's, what, like 40 minutes from here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 40 minutes east. That is a really interesting location. I was invited to, my wife and I were invited. She's like the Scully to my Mulder.
So you guys do this together. Randy and I know about that.
We do. She kind of ropes me in and keeps me from chasing the moon and werewolves. And we were invited to like this murder mystery type dinner, get to know each all the X-Files. Nice. And we were invited as like the guests of honor. They wanted me to tell some stories and read some excerpts from my book.
Sure.
And a lot of the people that were a part of it was like the movie Dinner for Schmucks. It was pretty funny.
Oh, look at this place. This is nice.
It is a very nice location. And the bar downstairs is like a dungeon. Mm. And I wonder if they used to keep people during the Renaissance era in that location, but since this land was not anything beyond the New World before the Renaissance era, I doubt that that was ever a dungeon of torture. But it does look pretty creepy, and in fact, a lot of weird things happen in that bar. Glasses are known to fly across the room. A lot of girls, when they go to change certain containers for the drinks and whatnot, or change the keg, they'll feel someone push or grab on them. I myself did not experience anything in the bar. I did get a sense of something moving around that wasn't physical, but what I experienced more was in the ballroom area where they have a lot of wedding receptions and graduation dinners.
Sure.
There is said to be a ghost cat that runs around.
Oh, ghost cat.
Ghost cat.
Do you have to do ghost litter?
Ghost litter, yes. Ghost poops.
Yeah, ghost poops. So,
what if it's like the worst part of a ghost cat? It still smelled like a cat, and you're like, I don't even get to see this son of a bitch. Like, what? Smell it.
It's just a cat.
Yeah.
So you kind of want to set a can of Nine Lives out for it to see what happens. But we're sitting in one of the tables, and I notice one of the table drapes that goes over the tabletop cloths. It's brushing almost like someone's rubbing their foot against it. And I pick it up to look under to see who's doing that, because it's just my wife and I sitting here at this table. And I kid you not, this cat was under the table, and all the doors were closed. No one could get in or out at this point, and it's just us, just physical people. And this cat, this solid white cat, is under the table. It hisses at me just like that sound, and then takes off. But it takes off to where? Because as soon as it disappears from our sight, it's gone. Weird. It was a cat. This is Neil Parks. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of a very special Halloween special that I hope you found very special. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sitting this long, or if you were listening to it in the shower, or while you were driving, or while you were walking, or working out at the gym, or walking your dog, or putting together a Lego set, maybe working on a painting. I hope you enjoyed it. Tune in next week for another fun-filled episode of Paranormally Speaking. I'm rounding the end of season 5, so there's only a few episodes left before I take my seasonal hiatus. And then we'll be back February with the first episode of season 6. That's how long this podcast has been going. I'm going into my 6th season, and you people keep coming back and listening, so I have to provide new entertainment every week to keep it fresh, keep it fun, keep it funky. Thank you so much for listening. This is Neil Parks signing off.